you should have two things. Well, let me say that you should have lesson 7, and Lord willing, we will finish lesson 7 today on temptation. It deals with God's provisions for us, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, and the armor. And we saw the Word of God last time, so we'll get into that. Second, let me pass this around. As you know, at Vacation Bible School, there is a sort of a lounge for the teachers, because they're in and out all the time and they're with the kids, but we have like snacks and stuff for the teachers to eat during the day. If you'd like to bring some things, it's got, this is a sheet that's got different things you can sign up for. So I'm just going to pass them around this way. So if you'd like to help bring some snacks for the teachers during Vacation Bible School, just sign up for that and then pass it on around to others. We'd really appreciate that. As you know, tonight is the thing we're trying for this summer. We're having our summer fellowship groups. They meet tonight, 6 o'clock, in different homes. If you signed up for it, you should have already been contacted at least. Well, sometimes they'll tell you when to come and what to bring. If for some reason you haven't ever signed up and you say, I think I want to be a part of that, it's not too late. Just call the church office on Monday or Tuesday and we'll get you in a group, okay? And it's going to be a lot of fun. As you know, the youth are leaving right now. We prayed for them in the first service. They're driving. They're going to be heading to Del Rio, and they do a lot of ministry for this week, so we want to be praying for them as well. And I'm trying to remember anything else. If you got children, you can pre-register them, sign them up for Vacation Bible School. If you'd still like to help in Vacation Bible School, you can do that as well. Okay, so you should have lesson 7 dealing with temptation, and let me pray, and then we'll kind of get a little running start to see where we are. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great, great morning. Thank you again for our class. I love our Sunday school class. Thank you for the privilege we have of coming together with the fellow believers. Thank you for the Word of God, which is perfect. And Lord, as we think about temptation, we know that we're tempted all the time. We're tempted every day, and oftentimes we fail. Lord, we know that temptation is not sin, but how we respond to temptation can result in sin. Lord, we've looked in the scripture how people failed. We saw how people have victory. We have been talking about, Lord, different ways that we can have victory. Thank you for the provisions that you have for us. And so even, Lord, now as we study this morning, that you would continue to teach us, help us to understand these great truths so that we can have victory. We would love to stand strong and to live righteously and godly in this present age as we look for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you again for Jesus who died on the cross, paid for sin, and rose again, and gives us eternal life simply by faith. Thank you, Lord, that our salvation is not works. It's not our goodness. It's not our righteousness. It's just faith alone in Christ alone. Thank you, Lord. Teach us now as we think about the whole idea of temptation. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want to, go ahead and just turn to Galatians chapter 5. That'll be a place we'll look at verse-wise when we get to it. And I want to remind you that we're in the section that we're trying to deal with the practical aspect and how we can have victory in our Christian lives in temptation. Now, let's face it. We all know that as a new creation in Christ, we still have a natural bent to sin. What's it called? The flesh. And as a believer, we have the new creation in Christ. That's us. And we're to live righteously and godly. We have the battle going on. In Galatians 5, the place that I told you to turn, it says the flesh lusts against the spirit, spirit against the flesh. They're contrary one to another. So there is a battle going on in our lives. It would be great to say that every time we're tempted, we have victory. It would be great to say that. Any in this room can say that? We'd say no. We would love to, and we'd love to continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ so that we can get to a point that we have victories. Maybe there's some areas of our lives that seems like we just fail all the time. Is that true? Is that true for you? And there's some areas in your life that there's some things that if it was a temptation right there, you'd go, doesn't bother me at all. There's something, if it's over here, whatever it may be, you say, every time I get in that situation, or every time that happens, I end up falling. We talked about, fleeing. We talked about different ways of having victory. Well, in this last section, we're dealing with what God has done for us. We got the promises of God, the provisions of God, and our responsibility. We talked about God's promises. That was a couple of lessons ago, and I want to remind you what they are. God's promises is He's working in our lives, that we are accountable, and that victory is possible. And we talked about the 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, where it talked about no temptation that has come into your life is different than anybody else's. They're all common to men, but God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation, He will provide a way of escape. It is possible that we have victory. It's possible that we have victory every time. Okay? But that we don't always do that. Now, with that in mind, that was the promises. Then we are now in the section that says God's provisions for us. And what we spent for the last, basically about last week and a time before that a little bit, was the Word of God. And He has given us the provision of the Word of God. We have the written revelation of God. And I don't know if we've, And here's what we said, the three things that we really wanted to do about the Word of God. First of all, is to know it. If we're going to have victory, the Word of God is the key. We got to know it. We got to study it. We talked about it last week, so I'm not going to go into the details. I just want you to remember that. We got to know the Word of God. You're on the sheet that says, if you're looking at where we are, just to catch up, where the part that says the Word changes us from the inside out, and this is where we are, knowing the Word of God, memorizing the Word of God, and meditating on the Word of God. That's what we saw last week. I'm just reviewing it. So we're to know the Word. We're to memorize the Word. Psalm 119:11, Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin again. Against you. We spent a good bit of time talking through this, and the third thing was to meditate on the Word of God, which is to take the truths and think about them, put them in our minds. We even raised the question, why is the Word so valuable? And we ended up with these four things. It's inspired by God and it's profitable. It's alive. It's never void but accomplishes a purpose, and it is the truth. That's the four things there. Why is the Word of God so valuable? If you didn't get those written down last week, there they are, but I think a lot of people got those. But that's where we are. So the scripture is the provision that God has given for us. And here's the question that we ended with last week, and that is this. Does what you know affect the way you live? Now that's what's supposed to happen. What's supposed to happen is we study the Bible and we see truth from the Bible, and the Bible tells us certain things, the rights and the wrongs and those kind of things. And then as we go through life, we're to live our lives based on the scripture. And we say something like, well, the scripture says don't do that, so we don't do that. And when the scripture says do this, we do this. That's what's supposed to happen. So what we know is supposed to, go ahead and go back. What we know is supposed to affect the way we live. It is. It's supposed to. But it doesn't always. And sometimes there's a disconnect, you know, and there's a danger in a church like ours, because a lot of churches don't teach the Bible at all. We are known for teaching the Bible. We're known for teaching the Bible verse by verse, passage by passage. Sometimes we can be caught up in knowledge that we can say, I know about end times, I know this book, I know this book, I know how it fits together, I know the truth about this, I know this. We know a lot, but the key is what? Application has to be. Because if knowledge by itself always does what? Puffs up. But knowledge and application equals wisdom. So here's the goal for us. It's not just to know the Word of God. Why did He give us the Word of God? So that we could study it, so we could memorize it, so that we could meditate on it, so that ultimately we'd make the application. Does what we know affect how we live? The answer is supposed to be yes. And that's a key. Now the second provision that God has given for us to have victory in temptation is to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. This is an application part. There's knowing and applying. This is how we live out the Word of God in our lives. It's not in our power. I always say this, that the Christian life is a walk of faith based on the Word of God in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a walk of faith based on the Word of God in the power of the Holy Spirit. So we have to live in God's power. The Christian life is that. We must realize that. Now here's a great truth. Flesh equals what? Failure. Holy Spirit equals victory. If we live in the flesh, we're going to always fail. It's just the way it is, because the flesh is contrary to God. In fact, if you read the book of Romans, and we did a study in the book of Romans for a long time. It took us, I think, 2 years to go through it Sunday morning, verse by verse. But if you get into chapter 6, 7, and 8 of Romans, and we see that the flesh, there's this pull inside of us, the things we want to do, we don't do, the things we do want to do, we don't, you know, it's just back and forth, and there it is. Anytime we live in the flesh, there's going to be failure. The flesh is totally contrary to God. That's the natural person. The natural person, who is the center of the natural person? Who is? We are. That's exactly right. Who's the center of your life in the natural person? You are. We wake up in the morning and go, what's in it for me? What am I going to do today? What's best for me? How can this be to my advantage? How can I get what I want? How can I do what I want? I see that. I want that. I see this. I want that. That's what happens. That's the flesh. If we live in the flesh, there's always failure. Always. Because the flesh cannot please God. we live in the power of the Holy Spirit, there is victory. Because the power of the Holy Spirit is God within us, empowering us to live righteously and godly, to live according to the Scripture. It's always according to the Scripture. Because how do you know what's right? How do you know how to live? How do you know what to do? It's the Word of God. So it's the power of the Holy Spirit. So we must decide that we're going to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at Galatians 5. I got a couple of verses right here. Galatians 5:16 and Ephesians 5:18. Look at Galatians 5:16. Look what he says. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Now, let me just tell you something. Everybody in this room has studied these verses probably for a long time. This is not something new. You're not saying, that's the first time I ever heard those verses. Of course not. But here's the question. Are we walking by the Spirit? Are we making application of what we know? It's easy to say, oh, I know that verse, or I know this, or I know that passage, I know what this is about. The question is, are we living it out? Walk in the Spirit will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, here's one of the things that I think is vital, and you've heard me say this over and over. He does not say, don't fulfill the lust of the flesh, and you'll be walking in the Spirit. He doesn't say that. Now, a lot of people believe that. They don't say it that way, they believe it, and here's how you know. Because people who come up with the Christian life by saying the Christian life is the set of rules. Don't smoke, don't drink, don't play cards, don't go to movies, don't lie, don't cuss, don't do. They have their list of things that they say you don't do. They believe that if you're not doing these things, you will then be in the power of the Holy Spirit. They've got it backwards. See, he doesn't say don't do certain things and you'll walk in the Spirit. He says walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, I just want to show you one thing. You're in Galatians. Look at verse 19. Because people say, well, what's it like if I live in the flesh? I mean, it's the natural person. Look what it's like. Now, the deeds of the flesh. Now, the word deeds means works. This, he says, this is what comes out of your life in the flesh. The deeds of the flesh are evident. That means they're clearly seen. They are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envy, and drunkenness, carousing, and things like this. I mean, look at some of that stuff. Sexual immorality, impurity, idolatry, sorcery, sensuality, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing. That's what comes out in your life when you're controlled by the flesh. You say, well, I don't ever get drunk. I don't ever do anything like that. Envy, anger, disputes, sensuality. All of those things are in people's lives. That's what comes out. Some maybe more than others. Some in different ways. It's according to how we live and what we do. But notice, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit. Now notice he didn't say fruits of the Spirit. He says deeds of the flesh. These are the works. These are the outworkings of the flesh. But the fruit, it's singular because it's a fruit that comes out. Fruit in your life. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness. And look at the last one. Self-control. Against those things there is no law. You know what that means? It means there's not a rule that you can make that produce these things in your life. You can't say that I'm gonna live by these standards and then I will have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. This comes from the Spirit. There's no law that makes this happen. This is the Holy Spirit that makes this happen in your life. So it's pretty powerful. So he says, walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Ephesians 5:18, you want to just flip over there real quickly? That's just one book over. Ephesians 5, look at verse 18. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Now that verse, a lot of people get mixed up on that, and they say, what are we talking about here? Well, he's saying in the same way that when you get drunk with wine, wine controls you. He says, be filled with the Spirit. In other words, let the Holy Spirit control you in the same way that wine might control you. Have you ever noticed how he describes, because he doesn't say, here's the fruit of the Spirit, but look what he says happens to you when you are filled with the Spirit. You're speaking with one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and you're singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You're giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. You're subject to one another in the fear of Christ. And then he begins to go in all these relationships. Wives to husbands, husbands to wives, parents to children, children to parents, slaves to masters. That's what he does. That he's saying this is what happens when you're controlled by the Holy Spirit. This is what happens when you're filled by the Spirit. If we're going to have victory in the Christian life over temptation and sin, number one, we got to go back to the Scripture. Number two, we live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember, it's the Holy Spirit living out the Scripture. It is powerful. Look at Romans. Turn to Romans chapter 8 for just one second. I want you to see one more thing. Some people say, but you got to live right. You got to live by the commands of the Scripture. Verse 4. So that the requirements of the law, some of the commands of the Scripture, might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the what? Spirit. How are you going to have victory in the Christian life? So far we have two things. What are they? We have the what? What's the two things? What's the two provisions we've seen so far? The Word of God and power of the Holy Spirit. So how are we going to have victory in the Christian life? He's given us a written revelation called the Word of God that we're to know it, we're to memorize it, we're to meditate on it, we're to put it in our lives, we're to live by it. It's to affect our lives. That's the Word. But it can't be the Word by itself because you have to be empowered by God to obey the Word and to live by the Scripture. Because if you live by the flesh, what happens? You fail and you die. You live by the Spirit, there's life and victory. That's right. So the second thing that he's given us is the Word of God. Is the power of the Holy Spirit. So the requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, we saw this verse, the next verse, several weeks ago, but I want to remind you of what it says. For those who are walking according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are walking according to the Spirit put their minds on the things of the Spirit. How are you going to tell if you're walking in the Spirit or not? That's what you're thinking about. It's what your mind is on. How can you tell if you're walking in the flesh? You know what you're thinking about, right? That's what he says. Very powerful. Now look at verse 6. For the mind set on the flesh is what? Death. But the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Now I want to remind you of this. We've talked about it over and over, but you just got to get it. When you live in the power of the flesh, what happens to you? You what? You die. Now, it's not eternal death, because you trusted in Christ as Savior. You're never going to be separated from God. It's not the spiritual death in the sense that you come in this world spiritually dead because you've been made spiritually alive. It's what we call temporal death, which means now you're out of what? Fellowship with God. So you have a choice to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. There's victory. There's life and peace. You live in the flesh. There's going to be death. And that's what he says. Notice again, for the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. You're welcome. So it is there. Because, now watch this. This is why when a person says that unbelievers, they're good people, and they are, but the unbeliever only has the what? Only has the flesh. Notice what it says about the flesh. Because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, what is it saying about you when you're walking in the flesh? You're hostile to God, and you can't please Him. We don't always think of it that way, do we? When we go through life, do you think that when you're not walking in the Spirit, and that you're out of fellowship with God, that you're actually in hostility to God, and you cannot please Him in any way? So what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do? Walk in the Spirit, right? How do you do that? Look right here. How do you walk in the Spirit? First of all, let's talk about it because let me ask you a question. How do you know if right now you're walking in the Spirit or walking in the flesh? How do you know? You could say, well, let me look for a minute at my life and see if there is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. That's the Spirit, or if there's envy, strife, whatever, that's the flesh. You could do that. But let me tell you what. The first thing to make sure that you're walking in the Spirit is, what do? You deal with sin. If you know that there is known sin in your life in any way, shape, or form, what do? You confess it. You deal with it. Confession, when you confess your sin, He's faithful and just to do what? Forgive you and cleanse you from all sin. So the first thing you do, if you woke up in the morning, this morning, when you woke up, the first thing you should do is if there's any sin in your life that you know of that you haven't dealt with, you should confess it right then. Then what do? You say, God, take my life. Use me for your glory. I want to go anywhere you want me to go. I'll do anything you want me to do. Now, we know that Romans 12, when he says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. When it says to present your bodies, that's an aorist tense in the Greek, which actually means a one-time thing. One time you say to God, I give you my life. But on a daily basis, you can get up every day and say, take my life today. Use me for your glory. You've already offered your life to him. But you can say daily, take my life. Use me for your glory. So let me tell you, how do you know if you're walking in the Spirit? There's no sin in your life because you dealt with it. And you've said to God, I want my life to count for you, and I'll go with it and do whatever you want me to do. What's the third thing? Live by Scripture. Because remember we said the Christian life is a walk of faith in the power of the Holy Spirit based on the Word of God. Some people say it's sort of a mystical, magical thing. It is not mystical or magical. It is the fact that you've dealt with sin, you're in fellowship with God, you want your life to count for Him, and you obey the Scripture. When you do that, you are walking in the what? In the Spirit. And if you're not obeying the Scripture, and if you're living in the flesh, you're going to have defeat. Now, when temptation comes, you remember, what is the pattern? You see it, you want it, you take it, and you hide it. And what we've been saying is that temptation to see it and want it is not necessarily sin. In fact, temptation itself is not sin. There can be something that you go, oh my, what do we want to do? You're walking in the Spirit. If you're walking in the Spirit, does that mean you won't be tempted? No. And so that's what people say, well, if you're living in the power of the Holy Spirit, how do you ever fall? If you've got God's power and you're living in the power of the Holy Spirit, how do you ever fall? Because the temptations come and you yield to the temptations. And it results in sin walking in the flesh. That's what it is. So the second provision that God has for us is the power of the Holy Spirit. There's one more. We got the Word of God. We got the Spirit. There's one more. And that is the armor of God. Turn to Ephesians 6. Most of you know that. We've studied it. We've taught the book of Ephesians a few times. I studied Ephesians so much when I did that commentary deal that sometimes I don't want to say that I'm tired of a book, but you've looked at the same book over and over and over again to write things. But Ephesians is so great, you can never be tired of the Bible, really. But look at Ephesians 6, 10 through, at least 10 through 17 is what we call the armor of God passage. And he's saying, how are you going to have victory in the Christian life because there's the temptations and the problems and the trials coming? Let me ask you a question. We live in what kind of world? Fallen world. Who controls the fallen world? Satan. And what does the fallen world affect? Our flesh. So we live in a fallen world controlled by Satan, and it affects our flesh. And so there are going to be things coming in our lives all the time which is tempting us to go wrong. It is tempting us to live in the flesh rather than the Spirit. So how do we have victory? Well, we got the Word of God. We got the Holy Spirit. But the third thing is we have the armor of God. Notice what he says in verse 10 of Ephesians 6. Finally, it's getting toward the end of the book. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Now, what would it mean to be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might? What power are we talking about? Holy Spirit, okay? Now, watch what he says. So therefore, put on the full armor of God so that you'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. What does the devil do? Controls the what? Fallen world. The fallen world affects your flesh. So he says, listen, you've got to stand strong. You've got to put on the full armor of God so that you can stand firm. Now, I want to say this over and over, and I know time is just about up. Did y'all hear First Bell yet? It wasn't one, okay, because it's already almost time for the second bell. But anyway, I just want to remind you that when we put on the armor of God, it is not to go take the fight to the devil. You put on the armor of God so you can do what? So you can stand. It's defensive. You are standing strong. Who do you get close to? Draw near to God. You're not going after the devil. Don't draw near to the devil. I've been places where they sang songs. We're going after the devil. We're going to stomp all over him. I say, you better stay away from him. Because he's an angelic being. In fact, probably one of the most powerful angelic beings. He's not the most powerful angelic being. You know that? You know who is? Huh? Michael. Michael, there's a battle. Michael and Satan battle. And Michael kicks him out. So you don't want to go deal with him. You want to draw near to God. You want to put on the armor of God so that you can stand. Notice what it says. Look, verse 11 again. Put on the full armor of God so you'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against his rulers, against powers, against world forces of darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you'll be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything, to do what? To stand firm. And then he says, stand firm, therefore. Three different times he says, keep standing. He doesn't say go after it. I don't know where this whole idea from this group of believers who've got this idea that we go after and bind Satan. And we go after and get him. You are to draw near to God. You're to be close to God. You're to take the word of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, put on the armor of God, and to stand firm. Because you're in a fallen world that's coming to you. You don't have to go to the world. Remember we said stop being what? Conformed to this world. If you're not consciously being transformed, you are unconsciously being what? Conformed. It's coming to you. You don't have to go after it. You don't have to go looking for trouble. Trouble's coming looking for you. So he says you put on that armor of God so you can stand. So you know the word of God. You live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Put on the armor of God. Let me do this. I don't know if we're going to get a bell, but look at the I've got them listed there. We'll talk about them next week very briefly. But there's the truth, righteousness, the gospel, faith, salvation, and the word. That's the parts of the armor. Notice what he says. He says, therefore, having girded your loins with the truth, put on the breastplate of righteousness, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, take up the shield of faith, take the helmet of salvation, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And see, I've had people say, well, the sword is offensive. It is not offensive. When Jesus was out in the desert, who came? Did he go find the devil? Or the devil come find him? He used the word of God in a defensive way. Devil said, this says this, but Jesus said, the word of God says this. We are to stand firm. Okay, well, we'll get this next time. Did y'all hear a bell at all? Just now. Is that the first one or the second one? Yeah, it's almost 25 till. What do y'all have? Is my watch wrong? Is our clock wrong? Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us as we think about having victory. We thank you for our provision, Lord, that you have given us the word of God to know, to memorize, to meditate, that our life would be changed. Then, Lord, we thank you. You've given us the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us, who is the power, and we're to walk in the Spirit will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so we thank you, Lord, that we can have victory over the flesh when we live in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then, Lord, thank you that you have given to us the armor, the full armor, and that we might put that on so that we can stand against the schemes of the devil, because we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against rulers, powers, world forces of darkness, spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. So, Lord, we want to take the armor and put it on so that we can stand. We thank you for the armor that you've given us. Thank you for the people in this room, Lord. I pray this week, starting today, that maybe in some areas that we failed, in some of those areas that just keep reoccurring, that we'll begin to have the victory. Because we'll remember about the different aspects and about fleeing and understanding and it's against you. But Lord, that you have given us the word of God. You've given us the power of the Holy Spirit. You've given us the armor. We want to have victory, Lord. Thank you that we can have victory, that you will find a way of escape in the temptations of life. Thank you, Lord, that we can stand before you someday and hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. Help us, Lord, now to have victory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.